Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
After a very long section dealing with the blueprint for the tabernacle and all of the aspects of priestly service, the Lord reintroduces the matter of the Sabbath rest for His people. It's an interesting insertion in the divine record, and surely this repeat of the Sabbath rest is worth examining as to how it applies to us in our own walk with the Lord and our service to Him. Stay with us today for a rich and enlightening life study of the Bible with Witness Lee. This program is furnished by Living Stream Ministry, and again today we'll bring you recorded excerpts from the spoken ministry of Witness Lee, who together with Watchman Nee in China in the 1920s and 30s, served Christ in the gospel and in the rich ministry of the Word in mainland China. Eventually, Witness Lee brought this ministry of depth and insight to America, where he began the life study of the Bible in 1974. By 1983, he was well into the book of Exodus, and once again, Francis Ball joins us today as we pick up at that point, as we really are nearing the conclusion of this marvelous life study, Francis, we've been enjoying for several months now. Glad you're here again today.
Yes, I'm always glad to hear another message.
After this long record, Francis, concerning the building up of God's dwelling place, there's the repetition of the commandment to keep the Sabbath. Francis, we spent quite a bit of time looking at this matter of the Sabbath when it first appeared in Exodus. Now it reappears. Maybe you could refresh us a little bit as to what we saw concerning the real nature of the Sabbath rest.
Well, I believe back in Exodus chapter 20, we saw the giving of the law, and the fourth commandment mentions the Sabbath day. And when we look at that giving of the law in its entirety, we realize that contrary to what the Israelites took it to mean, they thought it was something to do. But God was really just showing what He is like in giving those commandments. He's holy, He's righteous, He's merciful. Everything is related to how God is in His being. But the Israelites took that as something to do. In the Scriptures, it says that all that the Lord has commanded, we will do. But instead of that pleasing God, that very much displeased Him. That means they didn't know what the law was given for, to show what kind of God He is. But they tried to do, without God, what God wanted to do in them.
Francis, I think as we get into today's program, a lot of these matters from the first time we looked at the Sabbath rest in Exodus chapter 20 are going to come back and be fresh again to us. As it's reintroduced in chapter 31, verse 15 says this, 6 days' work shall be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to Jehovah. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. A very strong warning, Francis.
Surely is.
Let's join Witness Lee.
Right after such a long record concerning the building up of God's dwelling place, in chapter 31, it repeats the matter of Sabbath. The Sabbath was mentioned among the 10 commandments of the law. You have the 4th commandment. That is the Sabbath. It was told clearly in a complete way, yet here it is repeated, and repeated after the full revelation concerning God's dwelling place. We must find out why. At the very end of chapter 31, just one verse, it tells us that God gave Moses the 2 tables of the law. We should remember, this is the concluding verse of a long section when the Lord called Moses to go up to the mount. There, the Lord firstly gave him the law. Following that, the Lord gave him the revelation concerning the building up of his dwelling place on this earth. And in that part, we have all the designs of the tabernacle and its furniture. And then we have a full revelation concerning the priesthood. Then we have even a full record how the Lord has chosen the builders. Right after this, the Lord repeated Sabbaths. What is the reason? We'll find out. These few verses concerning the Sabbaths actually are an insertion between verses 11 and 18. The reason of the repeating of the record of Sabbaths after the charge for the building work of the tabernacle. You just think about it. No doubt, this insertion was just after the revelation of the builders, of the workers. And this sure indicates that the Lord charged these builders and these workers to learn how to rest with the Lord. Don't just work and forget about the rest. The Lord is charging you to do His work, but He would remind you with the work for Him, you should learn how to rest with Him. If you only know how to work for Him, yet you don't know how to rest with Him, this is altogether against the divine principle.
Francis, let's pick up this last phrase we just heard. If you only know how to work for Him, yet you do not know how to rest with Him, this is against the divine principle. Francis, why is it so important that we, as those who are given to serve the Lord for His purpose, know how to rest in Him?
Well, it's very clear here that this reference to the Sabbath again is at a time when all the revelation has been given concerning the tabernacle and the priestly service and function that's in the tabernacle. And this is the revelation that's given, but it's not intended that man should enter into working this out and even building the tabernacle until they first remember the Sabbath to rest in Him. So the important principle is that God does not ask us to work until we have had enjoyment. To enjoy God as a Sabbath to us is more important to Him and necessary for us to begin with the enjoyment of God and then to do the work. So first He reveals what He wants done, and then He tells us right away, don't work, rest. This is a principle that we have to learn to rest. Even when we're doing the work of the Lord, we should not do that work without first enjoying God as our Sabbath, enjoying Him and being in His presence that we might be one with Him.
Francis, this is another one of those divine principles that's absolutely contrary to the human, secular, worldly way of doing things. Our way is we work for 6 days and then we feel like we're entitled to a rest. But in God's economy, we can't work until we've first rested and enjoyed Christ, can we?
That's right. Our rest comes first. And that rest is to be in God, with God, enjoying God, and partaking of God so that we are one with God.
There's an interesting twist in verse 17, Francis. It is very nearly a repeat of Genesis 2:2, but it adds something that we want to look at. Let's read verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. That's very intriguing. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Right when man came out of the creating hand of God, his first day began. His first day began. To him, it was the first day. But to God, it was the seventh day. So what? The significance is here. Where? That Sabbath to God is after the work. That means rest to God is after the work. In other words, with God, he works first. Then he rested. In the entire Old Testament, only one verse that tells us the Sabbath was not only rest to God, but also a refreshment. Have you noticed? At the very end of these six verses, you have a little clause added. On the seventh day, he rested. In Genesis, it tells us the same thing. On the seventh day, he rested. But here, God added three words and was refreshed. Even God needs to be refreshed.
Amen.
To rest is one thing. To be refreshed is another thing. I don't think when you rest, you need something. When you rest, you just sit down. Or you lie down. That's the rest. But to be refreshed, you cannot refresh with nothing. Could you be refreshed with nothing? Especially the American people know what is to be refreshed. Let's take some refreshment. To be refreshed needs something. At least you need a cup of coffee, a small piece of cookie, or some Coca-Cola. You need something to be refreshed with. God needs to be refreshed with something.
Amen.
Do you know with what God refreshed? Bible tells us he rested on his hind work. He looked at the heavens, very good. He looked at the earth, good. He looked everything good. When he looked at the man, very good. He rested. Then he was refreshed. You know, with what he was refreshed? His Coca-Cola was man. And his cookie was man. Mankind was God's refreshment.
Amen.
He loved man. He made man in his own image. And he made man a spirit to fellowship with him.
Amen.
He was too alone. So, when God saw the very man created by him, he was not only resting there, he was also refreshed.
Amen.
He was being refreshed there. His thirst was quenched, and his little hunger was satisfied. He was refreshed. When God stopped his work and began to rest, he had a companion there. That was man. To his companion, it was the first day, which was God's seventh day. The first day is the day of enjoyment. This is the divine principle. God would never ask you firstly to work, then to enjoy. No, no, no. Firstly, God afford you to enjoy. After the full enjoyment, not only with him, but also of him. After you have a full enjoyment with him and of him, then you work together with him. So, from this time onward, always enjoy and work. Enjoy and work. Enjoy with God, then work with God.
Francis, what a delightful notion this is, that mankind is a kind of refreshment to God. But I also loved what he said here about our working for God, that God would never ask us to work first and then take time to enjoy him. But our work for God must flow out of our enjoyment of him. We talked about this a moment ago. It really is wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm glad this came in again in the message, because we need to see that to man, the day of rest always has been the first day. Even you go back to the very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, and eventually all the different items on the earth, and even man himself, and then God rested on the seventh day. But that seventh day rest for God was the first day for man. That was his first day. So if we want to rest with God, that has to be first, not work first and then rest. In the natural thought, our idea, as you said, is to work and then rest. But God's way is first to rest and then work. And that rest means to enjoy God, to be in his presence, to be one with God, to take him in and enjoy him as our life and everything to us. Then in that strength, we can do the work that he's marked out, but not by ourselves, but by him and even one with him.
Francis, let's take just a minute more to talk about the real nature of this Sabbath rest. We're really not talking about taking a day off here, are we, before we begin to do the work of God? Experientially, what is characteristic of the real experience of the Sabbath?
Well, I know there's been a lot of arguments and different teachings about the Sabbath day, considering it whether it's to be Saturday or Sunday in a Christian's mind. No, it's not a matter of the day. It's a matter of God's enjoyment, enjoying God and what he has done. He did everything for us, and then he rested because what he did had been completed. He had gotten the rest that he wanted by creating man. This became his rest, but by enjoying him in our daily life and by starting out the day with him. Before we do anything, we should just start out the day with an enjoyment of God, resting in him. And I think if we just open ourselves to the Lord early in the morning and make this a principle in our life, we will fulfill what God's talking about in regard to keeping the Sabbath. Don't forget to rest. And rest first before you do any work. That means you get God as your supply. You get God as your enjoyment. You spend time with him in his presence without laboring in any way apart from him. Then, being filled up with him, then you can come and carry out by his doing what he wants to do.
Let's go back just for a moment and look at this first point that was mentioned in this section as well, that mankind would be a refreshment to God. Again, not a thought that we would come to naturally, I don't think, Francis, as we studied the Bible, is it?
I was kind of amused, too, at what Brother Lee brought out when he touched this point, that man is God's cookie. Man is God's refreshment. You know, he made mention of the fact that God needs some refreshment, and he found his refreshment in man, because now he has someone that could be one with him in his rest. After he created man, he could rest from his work because he had the one he wanted.
Another view altogether of mankind is God really sees it in the context of his eternal purpose and plan, really the central thing that has occupied him since the moment of creation, isn't it?
It's amazing that this links the first book of the Bible with the last book of the Bible, that he would be able to accomplish what he wants at the very beginning by creating man. And then eventually he had to rescue man from a fall and still come into him to be everything to him. God's intention for us today, if we are to have the principle of the Sabbath, is to cease from our own works and to just enjoy God and let him do the work in us.
Well, Francis, let's go back to Witness Lee. We have one portion left today.
God on Mount Sinai, after giving all the revelations concerning the designs of the tabernacle and all the furniture, God even selected, named the builders and charged the workers. Then God said, don't forget my Sabbath. Oh, even doing my divine work. doing the word for my home, for my building, for my worship, you still have to bear this sign. A sign signifying what? That you, my people, need to enjoy me first. Then you could work not only for me, but also with me. Not only so, but also being one with me. I will be your working strength. I will be your laboring energy. If you work by yourself, that is an insult to me. You must build my work with me, by me, and being one with me. I'm happy about this. If you just do a good work for me by yourself, leaving me aside, that is an insult to me. That is a sign of the devil's people. But you are my people. Amen. You should bear a sign that you need me. By doing this, you honor me. You glorify me. And this is a sign on you, signifying that you are my people.
Amen.
The people of this world, they work by themselves. On them, there's no sign that they belong to God. Because they don't enjoy God. They don't rest with God. They don't work with God. But with us, it is altogether different. Amen. Because we have a sign.
Amen.
What is the sign?
Amen.
Resting with God.
Amen.
Enjoying God.
Amen.
Filling up firstly with God.
Amen.
Then we work.
Amen.
With what fills us up. That means with God.
Amen.
Not only with God, when we work as one with God.
Francis, the pattern among people in the worldly context is to work absolutely independently. That's stressed, it's rewarded, it's embedded in our American culture. And in so doing, there's no acknowledgement whatsoever of needing God in any way. Why is this such an offense to the Lord for us to take this same attitude in our approach to Christian work?
Well, if we take that approach to Christian work, we are doing something by ourselves, in ourselves, and according to ourselves. But God's intention is to be everything to us. He has become life to us, and He wants to be that life and even that work. To do something independent of God, do it on our own, by our own strength, is an insult to God. The main thing I believe that the Lord wants to teach us here is that we need Him. We need God to be life, to be everything to us, and then we can serve with God and even one with God.
I remember from our life study in Genesis, there was a tremendous revelation when Witness Lee touched this point that all that was symbolized in the garden and the fall of man, the most significant from God's perspective, is that the tree of knowledge represents man's ability to operate and function fully independent of God, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. And this is what the tree of knowledge of good and evil will do. It leaves you independent from God, but the tree of life makes you dependent upon God.
Francis, Witness Lee closed on an interesting note, saying that there was a sign that we, as God's people, need to bear to identify ourselves with Him and with our enjoyment of Him. What can you say briefly in the moments we have left about this sign?
Well, the sign is that we rest with God, we enjoy God, and we're filled up with God first, and then we work with the very one who fills us up.
Well, that's the sign that signifies the beginning of our work for God, and today, unfortunately, it's the sign that signifies we're out of time. Thank you, Francis, for being with us. Come back again soon.
I hope to.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.